Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Well, what a surprise. Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. As you guys are listening, we have no clue what's going to happen with the Kansas City Royals. So this is what we have been told. The Royals and Major League Baseball are going to make a decision at 5 o'clock about what's going to happen regarding today's game. So we got an hour of free time here, and instead of just letting you hear old Royals interviews, let's talk about the NFL draft. We have 1 hour virtually commercial free for the next 60 minutes. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here. Rob Brinton is here as well. We are going to bounce around to some of the key spots in the NFL draft over the course of the next hour. We'll go out to Minnesota, hear what they are potentially doing regarding the two first round picks that they have today, and are they going to be a team that's aggressive to go get JJ McCarthy? We'll also head to Denver and find out what the plan could potentially be for them, and we'll be joined by Matt Verderam. We got a lot planned here over the course of the next hour. Appreciate you being here with us on this first round day of the NFL draft. Rob, I think the best place to start is here. I think that you and I both fall into this trap, and it is an unfair trap to fall into. You remember a couple of years ago when they drafted Trent McDuffie. The big thing was, well, Brett Veach never drafts corners in the first round until he drafted a corner in the first round. We've seen them draft a running back in the first round of the NFL draft. We have seen them trade up. We have seen them trade back. I think we try to use maybe our beliefs and we try to push them on to Brett Veach about how he is going to handle the draft. When the fact of the matter is, Brett Veach is as unpredictable as any general manager. I am going into this. I have no clue what the Chiefs are going to do. If they traded up to go get a wide receiver that they love, let's say that they have fallen in love with Xavier Worthy over the course of the last couple of days, and they have convinced themselves that he is going to be a dynamic playmaker in the league, the Chiefs certainly have the benefit of the doubt to go up and make a move to get a position of need for them. Let's say that the run on tackle happens, and last year they missed that run on wide receiver, but let's say that this year they catch the tackle run and they go get Tyler Guyton. I also could see a scenario in which Michael Penix is still on the board. There is a team that needs a quarterback. The Chiefs obviously don't. They then trade back with that team and pick up a couple of future assets and pick up more picks for more ammunition in the draft. When you only have two needs and you are as stable of an organization that the Chiefs are and also as solid of a roster that the Chiefs find themselves in, the world and the board is your oyster. You can essentially do what you want to do today. So Rob, what you and I have been talking about over the course of the week, you and I might look at this a little bit different, but we are far more on the same page than we were last year. Last year, I was pretty adamant. Go get a wide receiver, go get a wide receiver, go get a wide receiver. You thought they needed help on the D-line. I do think we know enough about Brett Veach to say, I don't think that their draft pick is going to come out of left field. I don't think they're taking a safety in the first round of the NFL draft. I know that teams can tell you that we draft best player available. There are some positions that the Chiefs are not drafting in round one. I think we have seen them enough to know that they are going to attack their needs in the draft, and they are going to find value at with where they select. I think that's there. If you look at this offensive line class, if you look at this wide receiver class, I think you're going to be able to get what you want anywhere between picks 25 if you want to move up, and also pick 40 if you want to move back just a little bit and pick up some future assets. So I think the Chiefs, relatively speaking, to having the 32nd overall pick, are in a good spot to get what they need and potentially in a good spot to move back and maybe not make a selection today, but put themselves in a great position for tomorrow about what they want to do.
I think a buddy of mine asked me this earlier, and it applies to this conversation. Hey, what do you think is most likely to happen? They take a tackle, they take a receiver, they go wild card, they trade up, they trade back. Give me the scenarios in order as you see them. And I texted back, and I feel this way. I think it is most likely the Chiefs are trading back. We know last year they tried to trade up, but teams from 21 to 24 were not interested in doing business with the Chiefs, combined with the fact that Chiefs didn't have the assets to get up to those locations. When that run on receiver happened, it wasn't just Brett Veach saying, no, we're good. A couple teams he knew were not going to be open for business with the Chiefs. The Ravens weren't going to give up on Zay Flowers to give it to the Chiefs. The Bills weren't going to give up on Dalton Kincaid to give the Chiefs. I think something similar happens this year. I think there's going to be a run on tackle. I think there's going to be a run on that second wave of wideouts. And I think when that happens, the Chiefs are going to say, we don't have the assets to get forward. So instead of picking a guy that we have a round two grade on at pick 32, just for the sake of picking at 32, let's back up a few slots and let's bolster our day two scenarios. That is what I think the Chiefs are most likely to do today, and I think they are going to have bidders for pick 32 because I think, and I know it's smokescreen day, but I think Penix and or Bo Nix will be available at 32, and someone is going to covet a quarterback with that fifth-year option. So because someone's going to covet quarterback, they will come up and the Chiefs will move back. I think they wanted to do that last year. Tinfoil hat theory is they couldn't because the draft was over at Liberty Memorial. This year, although Detroit is packed and popping, it doesn't matter if the Chiefs pick or not. There's no home crowd groans. I think they back out around one.
I mean, if you're looking at the Vegas odds, and I know that they are largely playing off what the mock drafts tell you that they are thinking about doing, wide receiver is the more popular option of what they could potentially do in round one, and then offensive line is number two, and there's a pretty noticeable gap between those first two positions and then them drafting a D tackle and some other positions on the field. If you are someone to keep up with mock drafts, the most popular pick for them in mock drafts is Xavier Worthy. The second most popular pick in mock drafts is A.D. Mitchell from Texas. The third most popular pick is Ladd McConkey. So the people that do this for a living or people that do this recreationally, you decide who you want to listen to. A majority of them feel that they are taking a wide receiver today. Now, I am not the biggest mock draft guy in the world. Last year, we went through it yesterday. I can find you a mock draft that had Will Levis being the fourth overall pick, and I can show you one that had Jahmyr Gibbs being a second-round pick. Obviously, both sides were terribly wrong on this issue. So take mock drafts with a grain of salt. But I do think we can say this. I do think that at least one, maybe two of those wide receivers are going to be on the board when they select. I don't think we are looking at a scenario like last year where all the wide receivers that they wanted quickly went off the board. I don't think that we're seeing 8-9 wide receivers drafted in round one this year. So you're going to have a choice at some point. Hey, do we really want Ladd McConkey? Do we think that he is a first-round value? Do we think that A.D. Mitchell is a guy? If you look at Xavier Worthy and the kind of receiver that they are looking for, he is the kind of receiver that we know Andy Reid likes. That's what you had in Philadelphia with DeSean Jackson. That's what you had in Philadelphia and Kansas City with Jeremy Maclin. If you look at the kind of receiver that Xavier Worthy is and the kind of offense that we've seen them run, a guy like Xavier Worthy, a guy like A.D. Mitchell makes a lot of sense. So, Rob, I am at least pretty confident in this. They are going to have a choice. And tomorrow, and I guess over the course of the next couple of years, we will see if they are right. I think you're going to have a chance to draft one of these wide receivers, and we'll see if that's the decision you go and how it ultimately pans out for you.
The question for me tonight is not just which receiver. It's if the Chiefs covet a wideout the way that I think they should be coveting a wideout. Because I, like I just said, I think they're trading out around one. I think they're moving back. I think it's happening. I think they're in backpedal tonight. But let's say they love Ladd McConkey. Let's say they love Xavier Worthy. Let's say they love A.D. Mitchell. I don't know which one they love. Let's just say they love one of those guys. Are they going to do everything they can to get the guy in the range they believe the guy should go? Like, I know it's an example of a pick that didn't work out, but historically, when Brett Veach circles a guy's area, he goes up and gets the guy. I'm curious if they've circled an area with wide receiver for their guy. We know, hey, our guy was Breeland Speaks in the second round. They felt like he was going to go in that window. They trade up to go do it. They felt that way about Mecole Hardman. They traded to go do it. They clearly felt that way about Rashee Rice when they traded up in the second round to go get Rashee Rice. When they believe a player has entered the hot zone, as they call it, they make a move to go get said player. I'm curious if there's a wideout they love to that point where, hey, it's 27 and Mitchell's still around. We love Mitchell. It's time to go get him. Or if they say they're all kind of the same to us. Once you get past 15, the difference between A.D. Mitchell and Ladd McConkey isn't earth-shattering to us. We have similar grades. That is the thing to watch. Do they covet a player enough to jump up into one of their hot zones, as they call it, and go get their guy? Or are they going to sit on their hands a little bit throughout the process?
And we'll also find out what players they have a first-round grade on or not. The Chiefs are kind of in that same tier where, hey, we think that there's 14 to 18 guys that are worthy of a first-round pick. Let's see if one of those guys is available when they ultimately select. Coming up in just a bit, we're going to take a trip out to Denver, Colorado, to learn more about the Denver Broncos. I think they could potentially be in the market for a quarterback. There is going to be a surprise in this year's NFL draft. We know that. Minnesota moving up in the draft would not be a surprise. Everybody is talking about it. Rob, I think you had the stat a couple of days ago that 60% right now of the mock drafts have Minnesota moving up to go get J.J. McCarthy. Maybe they do, but maybe they don't. And maybe J.J. McCarthy is going to the New York Giants, or maybe he's going to the Denver Broncos. Here's Michael Lombardi. He was on the Pat McAfee show.
Denver, Pat, is going to come out of this with a quarterback. I know they traded for Zach Wilson. I know that. I get that. And the Jets are paying half of it. But going into this draft, all they have are Jarrett Stidham and Ben DiNucci. And so, like, that, the depth chart tells you everything that you need to know. So when you focus away from the noise on the outside and all the rhetoric, you know, the Giants don't need a quarterback. They got Tommy DeVito. They've got, you know, they've got Drew Locke. They've got, like, all the rhetoric. If you just look at the depth chart, they'll tell you the answer.
We're going to go to Denver, Colorado here coming up in just a bit. I'm just looking at the Denver Broncos depth chart, and as you would imagine, it is light at the quarterback position. They got Jarrett Stidham, Zach Wilson, and Ben DiNucci. They have a pick that is right outside the top 10 tonight. The Broncos have the 12th overall pick. Are the Broncos going to be aggressive and go get their quarterback? Do they really like J.J. McCarthy? Are they going to potentially give the Patriots an offer that they can't refuse and move all the way up to 3 to go get Drake May? I think Drake May is available. I don't think the Patriots are just steadfast on we are not trading that pick. I think the Commanders feel that way about Jaden Daniels. I don't think the Patriots feel that way. I think if you want Drake May, you just have to pay what the going rate is for a quarterback. And I think what we know, it's the Trey Lance deal. If you are the Broncos and you want to move up in the draft and you want to make the trade to go get a big-time quarterback prospect, I think we know what it costs to go get that guy. We saw Trey Lance trade a couple of years ago in a massive trade. We're talking about a team that used a pick and then gave two first-round picks. You got to use three draft picks if you want to be outside of the top 10 and you want to move up to go get your quarterback. We'll see if the Broncos do it. I am steadfast that Sean Payton wants to make some kind of splash. You didn't come out of retirement. You didn't sign up for having Russell Wilson a year in which you were not super excited about him, and then the next year you go into a lost year with Jared Stidham as your quarterback. Maybe the Broncos don't go get Drake May. Maybe they're not a team that makes the trade for J.J. McCarthy. I think Bo Nix is then a possibility for them as a guy who's 24 years old that could start day one for them. Or maybe they make the play for Michael Penix and they just try to take a big swing at quarterback. You don't go get Sean Payton and spend all the money that you've spent and get rid of Russell Wilson if you're not ready to take a big swing at the quarterback position. We'll bounce back and forth between the Chiefs and some NFL draft stuff. Coming up on the other side, we'll go to Denver, Colorado. We have limited commercials today. We will be back in exactly 90 seconds. Don't turn that dial, so drive.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kansas City, it's George Karlaftis, and you're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Welcome back to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Coming up in just a bit, we'll head to Denver, Colorado to get an update on what the Broncos could potentially do with their first-round selection today. And are they a team that's going to be desperate to move up and try to find their quarterback? This is from James Palmer, formerly of NFL Network, friend of the show. My understanding is that the Chiefs expect Rashee Rice to be suspended during the 2024 season. At this moment, Kansas City doesn't exactly know the number of games. We'll see if this impacts their plans with pick number 32. Last year, KC tried to trade up for a wide receiver. Will they try again? I don't know when Rashee Rice is going to be suspended. I don't know how long Rashee Rice is going to be suspended. But if James Palmer is saying it, and we saw Adam Schefter say the same thing earlier this week, I would plan for it. Now, I want to be clear. I don't think the Chiefs should overreact to a four-game suspension, possibly for Rashee Rice. He is going to play this season. I think it was Nate Taylor, maybe it was Pete Sweeney that said it. You got to treat this like a normal injury. If you were going to miss Rashee Rice from weeks 3 to 7, we wouldn't be saying, hey, you got to go make a trade right now. No, you would be, let's weather the storm. We'll be fine. And we'll figure it out on the back end. I think you have to treat this exact same way. I would make my decision independent of what you think is going to happen with Rashee Rice. You know, at some point he's not going to be there. So obviously plan for that. But if you like an offensive lineman over a wide receiver, to me, the tiebreaker shouldn't be the four games in 2024 that you think Rashee Rice is going to miss. You are making a potential 4- and 5-year decision. Don't let a 4- or 5-game suspension change you off the player that you really want. Let's go to the phone lines really quickly and be joined by Josh Dover. He is with Denver Sports 104.3 to get his thoughts on the Broncos, as I think they are one of the more interesting teams heading into the draft today. Josh, how you doing, my man? All right, Rob, put him on hold. I do not hear him. I don't hear him, so I don't know what you want me to do with Josh Dover. I do not hear him on the phone, so let's see if we can get Josh Dover on the phone line. The reason we are talking about this is I think the Broncos are going to be a team that has the possibility to make moves in the draft. Let's go back to the phone line, see if we can get it to work this time. Sorry for the technical difficulties. We got Josh Dover of Denver Sports joining us on the show today. Hey, Josh, you got me?
Yeah, I got you. You got me.
I got you loud and clear, man. My apologies on that, man.
All right.
So we've been talking about the Broncos over the course of the last couple of days, and I know what I think about the Broncos, but I want to get your thoughts as somebody who's got the boots to the ground. I think the Broncos are a strong possibility to move up. You don't go get Sean Payton to have Jared Stidham as your starting quarterback. You got rid of Russell Wilson. That was a relationship that never worked with coach and quarterback. Now I think this is the chance for the coach to go get the quarterback that he wants. What is your expectations for the Broncos tonight?
I think a lot of what you just said is accurate. Obviously, it's a quarterback needy team, and Sean Payton's an offensive guy who wants to find that quarterback and keep himself employed for as long as possible and bring the Broncos back to prominence. But I'm not sure about moving up. I mean, we know where the Broncos are with their draft situation. They don't have a lot to offer. They're not going to be able to beat teams like the Vikings or even like the Raiders right behind them. So I don't think that moving up is necessary to the play. And then you have to ask yourself, for Sean Payton, how much he loves the Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr. So, I'm sure they'd love to go get a top three pick, go get talk to New England or go talk to Arizona. Obviously, I don't think the Chargers are going to do business with them. But it's a quarterback pick for sure. It's just how much do you really love Bo Nix? If you don't love him a lot, do you trade back and wonder what the Rams are going to do with everything we've learned today with their 19th pick and having all kinds of interest in Bo Nix right there? So I think it's a quarterback, but I don't think Sean Payton has enough to play the game to go up and get one, even if he loved the J.J. McCarthy or Drake May.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Josh, let's say that the Broncos are willing to do the Trey Lance trade. Let's say that they really like Drake May or they really like J.J. McCarthy and they're willing to use three first-round picks to do it. They're obviously willing to use their own pick and two future first-round picks. How would that be met in Denver if they took a big swing like that to go get Drake May or J.J. McCarthy?
See, I would hate it. I think there'd be, it'd be so close to 50-50 because it's a quarterback and we're desperate for a quarterback in this city since Peyton Manning left and you guys have been kicking our teeth in. So I would hate it, though, because this roster's bad, Carrington. Who's this guy going to throw to? And then you're going to give up the first couple of picks in next year's and the following year's draft. Free agency, sure, you can maybe spend a little bit next year because they are taking a big hit from Russell Wilson this year. But you would just hurt this young quarterback's chances to develop. And then the clock's always ticking. You know how it goes. They're not going to give him 3 or 4 years to figure it out because the roster was so bad. They're going to look at it as, hey, we picked you to elevate the roster, and you haven't been able to do that. So I hate that play personally, and I think a good chunk of Broncos country would feel the same way.
Josh, let's say that they don't go quarterback. What direction do you think that Broncos could go with pick 12?
If Brock Bowers drops all the way down, I think that's a play at tight end. I know it's not a sure thing. This team also desperately needs a tight end. Hasn't had one. I mean, really a serviceable one. You can go back to like Julius Thomas and Peyton Manning in the early 2010s. So it's been a long time. They have a guy, Drake Dulcich, that they like, but the dude doesn't have healthy hamstrings. I'm not sure he's ever going to have healthy hamstrings. So that would be a possibility. And if teams in front of them go crazy with the quarterbacks, I mean, man, if a Roma Dunze dropped or one of these top wide receivers, I could see that being the play as well.
That is Josh Dover joining us on the show today. Wanted to get a quick update on what the Denver Broncos could potentially do. They have the 12th overall pick in the draft. I think they could be aggressive at QB. Josh isn't so sure that that's the case. Josh, man, I appreciate you as always. Man, I'm looking forward to the first, like, 15, 16 picks of the draft. I think after that, the draft is kind of a snooze fest, at least this year, but there's a lot of intrigue at the top. And I think a lot of the big time player movement and trades that really get people excited, they're going to happen in the first hour of the draft.
Yeah, I'm fired up for it too, man. Obviously in Denver, we're desperate for that QB. So see how that plays out. See if there's any weird, awkward moments, the girlfriend's getting yanked off laps or cell phones being taken. So I'm fired up for it. I also wanted to mention real quick, Kenny, because I heard you talking. You know, I am from Denver, but I'm pretty sure that Rashee Rice is about a 10-12 game suspension. At least it should be.
Bye, Josh. That's our guy, Josh Dover, joining us on the show today. Text line 913-586-7610. CDOT, I think the Rice suspension to factor into the decision if the Chiefs are so turned off from the standpoint that you may not want to give him an extension after his rookie deal. You may want to draft a player that makes it easier to say thanks, but no thanks. I understand the severity of what Rashee Rice did. I 100% understand. I also just want us to keep in mind that the Chiefs have four more years of rookie control over Rashee Rice. Now, I think we can all agree with this, that based on the information that we have so far, now, obviously, a change could happen, but they are not cutting Rashee Rice. So if the Chiefs have made a decision on if they want to pay Rashee Rice 4 years from now based on what happened, I would say you've jumped the gun just a little bit. Let's just see what happens and let's play this thing out when it comes to Rashee Rice. I mean, didn't the last time that the Chiefs made a decision based on what they thought the availability of a player was going to be, didn't they make the wrong decision? I mean, we all think that they drafted Mecole Hardman because, oh, we were so worried about what was going to happen with Tyreek Hill, so we moved up and we did this, and you got Mecole. You don't have to do that. You're in a good spot. You're in a good spot. You don't have to worry about replacing Rashee Rice. You don't have to do that. You're fine. He's going to miss 3 or 4 games, maybe 6 on the absolute front end. Do not let those 6 games dictate what you do in the first round in 2024. If they draft a wide receiver, great. They need a wide receiver. This wide receiver room still, even with the addition of Hollywood Brown, is looking a little light. It's looking light. So I'm all the way for you going to go get a wide receiver. If they draft an offensive lineman in round 1, I'm with it. If they draft a wide receiver, I am absolutely with it. I am here. I'm for it. Great. But you don't have to rush to any. You don't have to do any of that. You really don't because of the Rashee Rice suspension. He is going to be on the team next year, the year after that, and the year after that. And I would just guess, based on all the information we have right now, they're going to pick up his 5th-year option. You got 4 more years of club control over Rashee Rice. Let's not overreact.
I understand the idea behind fans saying you got to draft the insurance policy for Rashee Rice. I understand the logic, but you laid it out perfectly. Last time the Chiefs made a panic move at wide receiver for an insurance policy, it kind of blew up in their face. I also think, and it's not going to be a popular thought, I think the insurance policy for a Rashee Rice suspension is already on the roster. Carrington, the Chiefs and Kadarius Toney have had a very tumultuous relationship. It has been rocky. When it's good, it's great. When it's bad, it's horrendous. I think you're the king of dating analogies. I think you'll understand it. He's that girl where you're like, man, I don't mind riding the roller coaster because the highest of highs are fantastic. Chiefs fans will tell you, man, that play he made against the Jags where he, you know, changed his gloves or like manipulated them in midair and made the catch, incredible. The kick return against the Eagles, oh boy. All those plays in the divisional round against the Jags, they were special. Those are the highest of highs. But the lowest of lows also exist. He's on Instagram before the Super Bowl being like, the Chiefs are manipulating my words against me. I'm healthy. They won't let me play. He's making SoundCloud raps about the Giants for no literal rhyme or reason during the offseason. But the Chiefs have been steadfast with their messaging about Kadarius Toney. We think he's the most talented guy we got. It sounds like to me a rocky relationship, but the Chiefs keep saying we love him. I think the insurance policy for a Rashee Rice suspension, if or when it happens, and the length that happens, is already on the roster, and his name's Kadarius Toney, because the Chiefs have had ample opportunity and ample reasoning to just cut bait on a guy they traded for, but they haven't. They've said they love him, they've said he's talented, and they have written it out. I think Kadarius Toney is that insurance policy. I still think they go wide receiver, but I'm not convinced they go 2 wide receivers because they don't need to double up on insurance policies.
Let me correct something I said earlier. Rashee Rice was a 2nd-round pick. That was my fault there. I just had a brain fart there for a second. So they have 3 years left of club control. They don't have 4. If he was a first-round pick, they would have 4 years of club control. I want to at least correct myself when it comes to Rashee Rice. That's 100% on me. I will go ahead and wear that one when it comes to Rashee Rice. Still having 3 years of club control for one of the better wide receivers, young wide receivers in the National Football League. I don't think they need to make any rash decision about what they want to do at the wide receiver position, at least not right now in regards to his 2nd contract. You can't even negotiate a 2nd contract with Rashee Rice for at least the next 2 seasons. Let's just see how he handles himself on and off the field before we start having that conversation in relation to Rashee Rice. So my bad on that one. If you look at the mock drafts and compile all the information, Xavier Worthy is the most likely pick on the mock drafts to the Kansas City Chiefs. A.D. Mitchell, wide receiver at Texas, he is the second most likely pick. Also, Ladd McConkey, a wide receiver out of Georgia. So I'm looking at the percentages. Rob, 15% of mocks have them taking Xavier Worthy. 12% of mocks have them taking A.D. Mitchell. 11% of mocks have them taking Ladd McConkey. That's just those three wide receivers. We're not counting Keon Coleman. We're not counting Troy Franklin. We're not counting some of the other wide receiver options that are obviously being mocked to the Kansas City Chiefs. The wisdom in the draft circle is that the Chiefs are going to take a wide receiver today, that they are going to spend a first-round investment on a wide receiver. And just if you are building a future for the Kansas City Chiefs, I really want them to go get a running back. If you go get a solid running back in the 5th, 6th, or 7th round, you spend a early draft pick on a wide receiver, you got a really strong offensive nucleus to move forward with. Isaiah Pacheco, draft pick at running back, new wide receiver, Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown. You continue to recycle quality veterans through. Their wide receiver room is really one more player away and one player, I would say, exceeding their expectations. You got the absolute worst version of Kadarius Toney last year, the absolute worst version of Sky Moore this past year. You don't even need either of them to be good. Just don't be bad this upcoming season. And I think you got a chance to have a much improved wide receiver room. Rob, let's take a quick 90-second break and we'll get back to the Chiefs draft. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Kansas City, it's Justin Reed. You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
We were talking about the possibility of Rashee Rice's suspension having an effect on what the Chiefs do today in the NFL draft. I don't think it should factor in. I think we were talking about I don't want them to make a 4 or 5 year decision based off not having a player for 4 or 5 games. I don't know if that's the best uses of your resources. Someone on the text line says, CDOT, but what about actual legal repercussions and not just a league suspension? What if Texas or Dallas chose to make an example of him and put him behind bars for a couple of months? I say this respectfully. I live kind of in reality on this subject, and I do not think that they are putting an active NFL player in jail. Now, if you or I committed this crime, you or I might be in the slammer. You or I might be going to jail. I don't think Rashee Rice is going to jail. Number one, he's got too good of a lawyer to go to jail, and he's got too much money in this instance to go to jail. Especially everybody walked away. Everybody lived. Now, he might be on probation. He might get a little house arrest. He is not going to jail in no capacity. Do we think that is happening? The law don't work that way. Not when you got a little bit of money and a good lawyer. You find yourself out of this scenario. You plead down, and now you're going to have to settle with some of these people out of court. I think we know that he's going to do that. I told you guys, He is not playing for the Chiefs this season. He is playing for the people affected by that car accident, because the money that he gets, he is instantly riding a lot of that over to pay for that lawyer, that fancy downtown lawyer he got, and the seven other people who were affected by his street racing activities. So I don't think Rashee Rice is going to jail. I don't think there is ever a threat of him going to jail. He will probably get some kind of probation. He will get his license suspended. He'll have to do some community service. For a first-time offender, for a rich person, he ain't going nowhere near the jail.
I would agree with you based on what we know about what happened. Now, if someone on the text line is like, you guys are forgetting that Henry Ruggs happened.
We killed somebody.
He killed someone.
Yeah, what are we doing here? Come on now.
Someone died.
Henry Ruggs went to jail because somebody died. You're right. If somebody had died in this accident with Rashee Rice, we'd be having a very different conversation right now, because he wouldn't be on the team. And they would 100% be drafting a wide receiver in the first round if they didn't have Rashee Rice on the team. Yeah. So, no, it's a very different situation than the Henry Ruggs scenario. Henry Ruggs was just gone completely from the team. He has been removed from society for the time being.
I equate this more to the Willie Gay, Frank Clark, and I'm not trying to compare crimes. That's not what I'm in the business of doing. But I think Frank Clark got two games. I think Rashee Rice ends up with more than two games, but he got two games. He got suspended for an off-the-field legal incident. Willie Gay got, what, four games? I think that's probably kind of the window for Rashee. 4 to 2 to 8 is kind of what I think based on everything I've heard, but he had an off-the-field legal issue that the legal process is being played out. I don't think the legal process is going to play out with him in prison. And if he doesn't end up in prison, I think he ends up with community service. And the league slaps 2 to 8 on him, depending on the information that comes out from the case. But I, at this point, imagine like he is going to be a free citizen at some point and not thrown in jail. If there's any information, new information, I'll reserve the right to change my opinion, but I don't see him behind bars.
How are you feeling about the Chiefs kind of going into this? Now, I understand why there is not a lot of information around the Chiefs given where they select. They're picking at 32. So you can't really create a lot of smoke screens. You can't really do anything at pick 32. You just got to let the board be the board. It obviously is a very different tone and tenor this year for the Kansas City Chiefs, given the fact of they are not hosting the draft the way that they were last year. And I don't want to say the draft feels inconsequential, but we just know that it's going to work out. Think about how important the draft is, right? Everybody would agree. The best chance to win, you want to invest in the draft. You want to hit on draft picks, right? I mean, the Chiefs had one draft pick that helped them last year, and they won the Super Bowl. I mean, the year before, I mean, the draft class, it was just left and right. Starter, 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 starter. The Chiefs had an okay draft. I mean, they drafted one contributing player last year, Rashee Rice. You got very little from Felix Onyedike Uzomah. Wanye Morris, in some ways, was a disappointment. I don't know if you can say that for a third-round pick. Chimari Connor was a good player, but a rotational piece, not a starter. B.J. Thompson, Keandre Coburn, Nick Jones. You had, if we were giving like a draft rating, you probably get a C+ for last year. It had no effect on their ability to win the Super Bowl or not. Then if you look at 2022, they just had a lot more draft picks. So when you take more swings, you're right, you have a chance to miss more. You also have a chance to get more hits. And boy, did they hit in the draft in 2022. You got Trent McDuffie and George Karlaftis. You got two guys that are two of the better young defensive players in the league and two guys that we think are worthy of second contracts. You got Brian Cook in the second round, who has been a very quality safety for them in his first two seasons. You got Leo Chenal. You also got a couple of cornerbacks that, even though you lose a guy like Legarius Sneed, you feel pretty confident because of how well you drafted in 2022 when it comes to cornerbacks. And you also got your starting running back in Isaiah Pacheco. When people love Nazi Johnson, another corner that we haven't got a chance to see a whole lot of. You hit so well in 2022 that it allowed you to almost miss completely when it comes to last year's draft. Now, I don't think you can completely whiff again this year, but I don't think the Chiefs are in a position where they need to get three or four starters. When you look at 2022, Rob, they had to make the most out of trading Tyreek Hill. You traded one of the most dynamic players and most valuable assets in the league, and you instantly went to the window and cashed that ticket. that's not really the pressure or tone for any of these kind of drafts. I don't think the Chiefs need to hit for an A-plus draft and need to hit on four of these seven picks. I think you need to find maybe one, two capable starters. Can you get another guy who can build some quality depth for you? And if you come away with that in this draft class, you're happy.
I do think this is more of a depth draft class. I agree with you. It kind of reminds me of, it was the year before they traded Tyreek Hill. They added Creed. They added Bolton. Those were players that you both felt like, okay, Creed's an improvement. But remember, they had signed Austin Blythe. So you kind of felt like you could redshirt year him. Nick Bolton, all my hating about him on the aside, when they drafted him, they had Anthony Hitchens on the roster. There was a thought that you can kind of ease him into the rotation. You had traded for Orlando Brown Jr., so you didn't need to really hit a, oh, we got to get a star guy in this draft. They were able to kind of ease guys into the rotation. I think this, and Trey Smith was in that draft, and there was a thought that if he's healthy, he's a could be a star, but we'll just see. I think this draft more mirrors that one. You want to hit on your first, second, and third round picks. You want to find impact guys. You don't want to look back in 4 or 5 years and have people like me say, oh, that's a D plus. Oh, that's a D minus. Oh, bad draft. That's the last thing you want, because you and I both know when you miss in the draft, you start chasing those misses in free agency. But I don't think they need to find a star. Like, I'm watching the NFL Network's draft coverage in here, and they're talking about Caleb Williams. The Bears have to have him be a star. They have to hit. The Chargers at 5 have to do the correct thing. They have to hit to jumpstart their franchise out of dormancy. You have to hit. The Chiefs can just find solid players and ease them in, and I think they'll be okay. If they take a left tackle, let's just say Kingsley Suamatia, because I like saying his name, from BYU, and they then go sign Donovan Smith, I think that's fine. You kind of survive in advance. If they draft a wide receiver, but he ends up being, you know, more like an ease into the rotation guy than he does Rashee Rice, I think that's fine. If they go wild card and they take a corner in round one, that corner doesn't need to be L'Jarius Sneed on day one. They can ease him into the rotation. So this draft, to me, more mirrors 2021, where it was, yeah, we want to get good players, but the players we're bringing in are not, hey, hit the ground running or we're screwed type of energy.
Let me ask you a couple of questions. We'll take another 90-second break, and then we'll come right back, and we'll go to Minnesota, and we'll wrap this thing up before we hand things back off to Vern. I just saw from Joel Goldberg, the Royals, looks like they're going to take the field. Looks like they're going to try to finish this game. We got to sign off by 5 o'clock, but we wanted to come on and give you guys an hour of draft content before we do that. Let me give you a hypothetical trade, and let me see if you are up for it. What if the Chiefs use their 95th pick, in addition, obviously, with 32, and they move up to 22 to go take A.D. Mitchell? Is that a trade that you are for, knowing how deep this wide receiver class is? If they use their third-round pick, they go from 32, and they move up to 22, 23, and they go get a wide receiver. Are you happy with that trade if that's what they do? Because you want them to go get a wide receiver. But you're also keep picks. You want to take as many shots as you potentially can.
I would be happy with that draft, but that decision, because I feel like their need at wide receiver one is their largest need. Now, if they trade up and do that for left tackle, I'm not going to be angry, but I think I would be okay with that. Speaking of that, and I'm not going to hit the breaking news sounder, that's not worth it, but our friend James Palmer, formerly of the NFL Network, has tweeted out 1 minute ago, the Chiefs have been really working to see if they can get up from 32. The thought around the league is they are targeting one of those speedy wide receivers. So this lands right in line with your hypothetical trade.
It's like, I know.
James Palmer is saying the Chiefs are trying to get up, not back, like I said to start our hour show today, up out of 32 to get a speedy wideout. Let's take the hypothetical to the next level. Let's say they do what you just laid out, but Xavier Worthy, are you happy?
No.
Really? Mr. Wideout.
Xavier Worthy just feels, I don't know, something about it just feels, I don't know. That's not who I want them to take. I'm not going to crush the pick, but he is not my number one selection if that's who they're taking at wide receiver. Maybe I am wrong in this. It just feels like they've tried this speedster wide receiver thing, and I don't know. I'm a little turned off by the idea of doing this. Let me throw this out there. Let me play a little cynic here. Let me have a little hateration, holleration. Let me do this. What if the Chiefs are doing all of this to inevitably turn around and say, well, we wanted to trade up for wide receiver, but nobody wanted to trade with us? What if they're setting it up and they're playing the long game here? They could do that, right? Hey, look, we really wanted to trade up to go get a wide receiver. We were calling. We were making calls. No one wanted to answer the phone. No one wants to do a deal with us. What if the Chiefs are playing it like that? Just throwing that out there. I'll ask you another question here. Now, I gave my little hateration. Let's see if you're going to give your hateration. Would I be wrong if I counted Felix in this draft class? We all last year, the reason I throw this out there, before you look at me like that, the reason I throw that out there is all last year we called it, what do we call it? A redshirt year, right? We knew last year that you weren't going to get a whole lot of Felix and that this year he was going to help, that this year he was going to count. You still got 4 years on Felix, right? That's not any different than a second round pick or a third round pick. Even moving forward, you still got 4 years of club control over Felix Onyedike Uzomah. So what if I'm going to give him a pass for last year because I knew that they were stashing him and he is now a redshirt freshman. So I could count him in the freshman class with everybody else. I'm throwing that out there. Let me see how what you think about that.
Absolutely not. No, I will not allow that. Because if that's the case, then why did you take him in the first round? The whole game, the whole allure, the reason why NFL GMs covet first round picks like things we can't even process, ooh, love it, is because of why, Carrington? The fifth year option. They treat this fifth year option like they discovered plutonium. They love it. But if you're telling me, oh, he doesn't count toward last year, then why didn't you just trade back? If he was a four-year guy anyway, then why'd you have to get him in the first round and get that fifth year? What's the point? So no, I'm not letting the Chiefs tell me it's a redshirt year and then this year he actually counts. I guess what I'm saying on the whole to get the 10,000-foot view is I'm not letting the Chiefs play the narrative game. Oh, we tried to trade up, but it failed. See, James Palmer said it. Listen, we love Onyedike Uzomah, but we only have 4 years left of him because we knew he was a four-year guy, not a five-year guy. I'm not letting the Chiefs' narrative run the show tonight. They can be wrong and still hoist Lombardis, but no, I'm not letting the narrative spin out of control.
Let's take a quick 90-second break. When we come back, we're going to head to Minnesota. We'll learn more about the Vikings. Are they going to trade up? Are they going to be the team that goes to get J.J. McCarthy? And we'll put a bow on this thing. We got to hand things back to the Royals coming up at 5 o'clock. We wanted to give you guys as much draft coverage that we possibly could. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Kansas City, it's Nick Bolton.
Can I get a big old M-I-Z?
You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Rob, I did a quick Google search, and I know we're going to be heading to Minnesota here coming up in a bit. I know that some of you are really excited about Xavier Worthy, the wide receiver out of Texas. I'm looking at the NFL draft mock database. So they compile all the mock drafts that are out there. And Xavier Worthy is the most popular pick projected to the Kansas City Chiefs. A little less than 16% of the mock drafts have them taking Xavier Worthy. A.D. Mitchell is second with a little more than 12% of the vote. Ladd McConkey is right at 12%. Those are the top three most popular picks. I just typed Xavier Worthy player comparisons because I was curious. I wanted to know. The first one was from Bucky Brooks, and he had Ted Ginn Jr. as one of the comparisons. The other one I saw was Marquise Goodwin. The other one I saw was John Ross. And then the last one I saw was Will Fuller. Now, they are just player comparisons, so I don't want to over or underreact to those comparisons. If you were telling me that he is Ted Ginn Jr., I'm okay. I'm fine. If that's a prospect that you like, that's fine. We can disagree on prospects. I don't want the Ted Ginn Jr. type. I'm okay. No thanks. You can have him. I don't want him. Ted Ginn Jr. All right, Rob, we got, what, 2 minutes left?
We got 2 minutes until we're calling Minnesota. I just got told he's finishing up.
Okay, 2 minutes.
Else.
I thought you had 2 minutes overall.
No, we'll have about 9 more minutes of show, and then we'll hand it back to the Royals as the tarp is being taken off the field. And I was in contact earlier with our Royals insider, Josh Vernier, who told me, quote, boy, that was a sight to behold with the wind out at Kauffman
Stadium.
I
saw the tweet from Aaron Rodgers. We got to hand things back to the Royals here coming up in 10 minutes. Before we're joined by Minnesota, what do you want them to do? If you were asking me right now, we are, 2.5 hours away from the start of the draft. I want them to draft an offensive lineman. I think they might have to trade up to go get that player. I am not opposed to doing that. I don't value draft picks in the same way that Rob values draft picks. Rob hoards them like gold. Rob thinks that the potential of taking a good player is actually better than trading for an actual good player. It's just something about that lottery pick and that chance that just gets Rob all excited. He's a gambler. Nah, man. I'm much more into turning it into veteran players that can help you instantly, and I am all about using those draft picks to get yourself a better prospect. You are going to hit and miss picks. You can be the best draft evaluator in the world, and I know that a lot of you follow the InVeach We Trust. He is the same person that drafted Breland Speaks. The same great drafter traded up to go get him. You're going to miss. You're going to hit. You're going to get things right. You're going to get things wrong. I am all about taking quality swings when it comes to the NFL draft. So I am all for them. If you were telling me that they do this trade, if they did 32 plus 95 to move up to 22 and they got A.D. Mitchell, I would be on board. If they did that same trade and they moved up and got their left tackle, I also would be on board with that. There are one of two things I think they need to come away with today, or they pick up more assets to attack that tomorrow early in round two. It's either left tackle or offensive line. I'm perfectly fine with whatever decision that they make. We got a couple of minutes here before we sign off. Let's go to Minnesota and be joined by Alec Lewis, who covers the Minnesota Vikings, and get his thoughts on maybe the most interesting team in the NFL draft this side of the New England Patriots. Alec, how you doing, my man?
I'm good, C-Dot. Sorry, it's been a whirlwind. I've been on the phone with college coordinators, high school coaches, family, friends, other people in the league. It's been wild. The Vikings it's going to be fascinating to see what they do.
Absolutely, man. Let's just start with this. I mean, you cover this team. You've been talking to everybody. What do you think they're doing tonight? What do you think the plan is?
I think the plan is to try to swing massively up to number three and try to convince the New England Patriots to move off that. I don't know how much that's going to take. It'll probably take 3 first-round picks plus, but I think the Vikings would do that for Drake May. Now, will that ultimately happen? Will New England make that deal? We will see probably when the clock is running. If that doesn't happen, then the Vikings are probably going to have to be pretty nimble. I mean, they're gunning for a quarterback here. Don't really know what the Giants are going to do at 6. The Broncos are lurking. So are the Raiders. So J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix are probably in the crosshairs after the potential trade up to 3. And I would expect they make one of those deals but either before 11 or at 11. But that's kind of the way I'm looking at it right now.
Maybe I'm crazy in thinking this. So you tell me if I'm wrong. If I'm New England,
but yeah,
if I'm Minnesota and I'm making the trade with New England, I gotta be thinking, what is it about Drake May that they don't like that a team that desperately needs a quarterback the way they do, they are happy to let us have him and not take him for themselves? That part would kind of scare me a little bit. I would understand Arizona. Arizona doesn't need a quarterback. The Patriots need a quarterback. And the fact that they would just give one to another team in the league would make me real hesitant about him.
Now, here's what I would say to that. The Carolina Panthers last year needed a quarterback. But the problem is, they had a first-year head coach, obviously Frank Reich had done it, and a whole new system, very few skill players, and a terrible offensive line. And so while they needed a quarterback, throwing the guy into that situation, it's just a hard – I mean, you're essentially setting them up to fail. Now, there's a chance, obviously, Bryce Young bounces back. They surround him. They have better coaching, all this stuff. But I would say the Patriots are in a very similar spot where their infrastructure is so new and so – bad, and they need so much that, to me, if they are thinking long term And maybe you find your guy and it's going to work out anyway. But to me, that just if you look at the historical odds of some of these quarterbacks and why they succeed and why they don't, the infrastructure and the coaching is such an important piece of it. And it's hard to say that the Patriots had that. Now, obviously, I'm looking at this from a Vikings perspective, and I get the argument. If you find your quarterback, you get a guy. But if you trade down and you get a future first-round pick and the Vikings with Sam Darnold go 6-11, then you potentially might be bad and have like a top 10 pick. So to me, if they are thinking long-term, moving out to me would be the right approach. Now, again, you have an old owner, you have probably an owner focused on legacy. Those things probably get in the way, but that is how I would lay that out, since maybe it makes sense, maybe it doesn't.
Right now, we're talking to Alec Lewis here for a couple more minutes. Alec, I'll get you out of here with this. Where are you at on J.J. McCarthy? I'm with you. Drake May is a better prospect than J.J. McCarthy. But I think we had a stat that right now of like the most popular mock drafts, over 50% of them have the Vikings trading up for J.J. McCarthy. But you're saying that they're more interested in Drake May.
Yeah, I think they are more interested in Drake May. But again, it's just going to be tough. Even if they're willing to go 3 first-rounders. I just don't – New England might just find it easier to stick and pick and not have to try to wiggle to get back to get J.J. I mean, I've watched a lot of the tape, and I don't pretend to be an elite quarterback mind. I've talked to a lot of people. There it seems pretty split. Some people would even grade – in the industry, I'm talking scouts, I'm talking executives, would even grade Michael Penix higher than J.J. McCarthy. Like, I think that opinion – exists, and I think it exists for a fine reason. Like, Michael Penix can really push the ball for all the medical stuff. He really produced, whereas J.J. McCarthy was in a different system. But when you're looking at a guy as young as J.J. is, the reports about just his motivation, drive, all that stuff are as good as they are. It's a projection pick. It's something that, again, I go back to that last answer. The Vikings can probably look at J.J. McCarthy and look at the skill players and the coaching they have and think that surrounding him with that will lead to success, given he will be on a rookie contract. So I think that's how they would view it. But again, I strongly believe that Drake May would be the number one preferred situation if it goes their way tonight to get him at number 3.
That is my guy, Alec Lewis, joining us on the show today. He covers the Minnesota Vikings for The Athletic. He says that the Vikings are potentially more interested in Drake May than J.J. McCarthy and could move up to 3 to go get their quarterback. Alec, I think I can speak for you. Tonight is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's absurd. I barely slept the last 2 days. I feel terrible. Been on the phone. I mean, just need this thing to be over with. I've written 48,000 mock drafts. I mean, enough is enough. This has been unbelievable, but it will be very fun. I'm very excited to see what happens. I said to somebody earlier today, I mean, the draft is this mix of like hope, uncertainty, 32 teams competing against one another. It's like you're waiting for a Texas Hold'em flop to happen in front of you. It's phenomenal stuff. I mean, it's really good.
That is our guy, Alec Lewis. Alex, man, I appreciate you. M-I-Z.
Thanks, C-Dot. M-I-Z. Z-O-U.
That is Alec Lewis joining us on the show today. Just wanted to get his thoughts as he covers the Minnesota Vikings about what they're going to do. Rob, before we sign off here, number 1 overall pick, Caleb Williams. Number 2 overall pick, Jaden Daniels. Number 3 overall pick. Who makes it and who selected?
Drake May, Minnesota Vikings.
I'm going to stay with the New England Patriots. I think it's a smoke screen.
Wow.
I'm going to stay with the Patriots. I'm going to go Drake May to the New England Patriots. Number 4 overall pick. Who makes it the player?
New York Giants, J.J. McCarthy.
Ooh, I'm going to say Arizona stays at 4 and takes Marvin Harrison Jr. I think the Chargers are trading out of 5.
Okay, so
I think the Chargers are trading out of 5, and that's where I think J.J. McCarthy goes. I think J.J. McCarthy goes 5th overall today.
So we're 6 in one hand,
yeah,
half dozen the other.
I'm curious what you think. That matters today if you're filling out the little sheet at the landing. Yo, I'm headed to the landing right now. Rob is heading to the landing. Hopefully you are headed there. We will see you at 7 o'clock to watch the NFL draft. Take care of yourself. Drive safely. So drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.